Welcome to the One Right Church podcast, where we will discuss what it's like to believe that you attend the only right church. My name is Mark Shaw, and I spent the first 45 years of my life in the Followers of Christ Church in Oregon City, believing I was in the One Right Church. Our hope is that by simply sharing our story, that we would urge people to look to the Bible for answers instead of their religious traditions. We want to encourage people to trust in Jesus for their salvation and not in attending the One Right Church. Let's get started. Hey, Scott.
How are you doing, Mark?
Doing good. How are you?
We've been doing this a long time, it seems like.
We have.
You know, which is great. I'm really happy to do it and happy to talk to you again about these things. So,
yeah,
thanks for including me.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, you know, as we come up with topics or what are we going to talk about this week, and I was just thinking again about maybe repeating why do we do this? I mean, we say it in the intro, but why do a podcast about this? What is wrong? What if somebody said, what's wrong with attending a church that claims to be the one right church? Or what's the big deal? And I know there are people out there that believe that I'm good. I can follow Jesus and I can do it here. I've heard people say that. I've said it myself actually in the past.
Right.
So I just think maybe it's worth talking about. Like what are some of the problems?
Well, I think that might be the nub of the question you're trying to answer is, you know, are these problems so big, mm-hmm. the ones that you're going to talk about here,
yeah,
that I can't do both?
Yeah.
You know, I can't do both, stay here and really have genuine faith in Jesus at the same time. Is that what you're getting at?
It is. And I think there are people in different places, especially at Followers, is my experience. I think we know there are other places who claim to be the one right church.
Many.
But I'm speaking from my experience. And I know I had friends, and when we started listening to sermons for the first time, we heard the Word of God preached for the first time, there were some of my friends who said, good, now I have what we've been missing. Now I can just stay here and listen to sermons online. I can just stay in the One Right Church. I won't have to leave, and I can just listen to sermons. And I think I probably felt that way
You did that for a while.
I did that for, a long time, a couple of years probably.
Right.
I think it might be worth like just talking again, defining maybe what it was, at least for us, that made us feel like we were the one right church, and then what problems that result from that.
Okay.
So one of the things is we thought that we knew something that everybody else didn't know. We thought we had supernatural, divine revelation that other people didn't have.
Inside information, kind of.
Yep.
In what form? Just in the revelations that Walter
from
would bring?
Yeah, and not just it. Throughout the history of Followers, we had dreams. Leaders had dreams.
Okay. Even
just members had dreams, and those would get talked about far more than the Bible would get talked about.
Okay.
So, that was part of it. The others.
Can I?
Go ahead.
What about, and I'm just thinking, maybe I'm thinking of other One Right churches, maybe it fits too, but is tradition one of those extra biblical things that carries that much weight?
I think of those differently. They did carry that weight, but I think I would say that we built our traditions off of the information that people got in these dreams. We established traditions, and then those traditions became as authoritative.
They had a life of their own at that point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the others, we believed that we had leaders that were spiritually superior to ourselves and to any other church leader. Like, we had the one right preacher.
There you go.
That's...
Yeah, I mean, that's... I suppose that's something that they don't worry about at New Life Church. It's like, yeah, pretty much, yeah, that guy, I don't know. But that, who knows? That's, yeah. But that's a thing. And I think some of it is, I mean, I hope they don't think that at New Life Church, because I don't want them to think that they have a pastor that's in any way superior. And I think that that's, and some of it is that, if you have a leader that in some respect either wants to be superior or believes themselves to be superior, or their, what do I want to say, leadership and control, authority and control is based on their own superiority, then that, I think that's what you're getting at.
Yeah.
And so you have to kind of maintain that and... that would be a problem.
Yeah, and I want to be completely fair, because I, again, Walter died before I was ever born, and I only heard stories about him. But all the stories that I did hear, they would talk about him in a way that he did not want to have. This authority was a burden for him that he was bearing. And,
interesting.
But the people were the ones who were elevating him.
Right. And, interesting.
So it wasn't, they always told me about him as if there was humility and,
and
these things, but that they would say that, and then they would tell the story about what he said or how this went, but, and it just, it never completely lined up in my head, like, but either way, we believed that he was superior, whether he
Whether he believed it or not. Oh, interesting. Okay.
The people believed he was superior. The people went to him with every problem, like every problem, how to raise their kids, their marriage, everything was going to Walter's house and talking to him about these things. So I can't imagine the pressure that that must have been. That was one of the things that identified us as the one right church, was the one right preacher.
Okay.
So,
and certainly the centrality of the one, I mean, he was central to the life of the community,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, right. For sure.
Okay.
I mean, to the point where even after he was gone, I mean, I've said on here before, I was raised not on what the Bible says, but on what Walter said.
Right.
Every answer was, well, this is how Walter held it. It wasn't really based on this is what the Bible says about that. So so I just knew that there we really held him really high.
Okay.
So and then another thing is, I think that we believed that something that we did made us the only right church, like things that we did. We greeted with a kiss, like the Bible says, and nobody else did, which isn't really true. A lot other people do that too. But we didn't go to doctors. That made us faithful where others weren't. We dressed the right way for, you know, it's just, it came down to, there were things that we did that identified us as the one right church.
So. And I think that's kind of interesting. You dress the right way, or you pray the right way, or you worship the right way.
Yeah.
And I think that there is somewhat of a spectrum where some people didn't think twice about it. Maybe other people, that was the thing that they held on to.
Right.
And I think that that's probably the case in a lot of churches that may not have all of the characteristics, but they certainly have this spectrum where some people are thinking, well, we do it right here.
Yeah.
And it's their...
Yeah,
I mean, they're making their own church into one right church, regardless of where they might even be,
or at least on that one topic. That's doing the one right way.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it was a little bit surprising to me. I don't know why. Well, because I'd only went to one church my whole life, but when we started looking at other churches and going, the fact that there were people who would say, oh, you can't have a drum set in the worship, or you can't, worship is supposed to be a piano only, or it was something like that. And it was, and I started to, I think I really overreacted to that. I started to panic, like, oh no, everybody thinks that they're the one right church because they're doing these things right. And there's probably a danger in that for anybody. So it can be a preference for some of these things, right? These secondary things can be.
Or necessity.
Yeah.
I mean, why don't you have drums in your church? Well, we don't have a drummer. That's why. Right. You know, right. Something like that. It could be that too. Right. But the thing is, over time, then that's what people get used to. Then all of a sudden, that's the right way to do it. And some things change over time like that.
Right. But I mean, I've read a lot of things online about very well-known pastors or whatever having commentary on the songs that you should not be singing at your church. And if you're doing this, you're doing it wrong. And so there is some of this in
everywhere.
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 Yeah. It's not just followers for sure.
Right.
So we would, the other thing is we would condemn people who leave. That really was, we drew a hard line there. Some people, that was a little grayer of a lot, you know, but for the most part, you can't have anything to do with people who leave, or your life is going to be miserable there. Your kids are going to lose friends. We've talked about that. But it's interesting because the belief that you need to stay at the one right church is the only belief that has to line up. For people, there can be people on totally opposite ends of an issue, but they can still hang out together as long as they are going to the one right church.
Okay.
And I just don't have any experience anywhere to know if that's true. I haven't seen that. If there were people here at New Life Church that were at completely opposite ends of the spectrum, I don't know that they're going to say that they just want, that they're okay to hang, but if you leave New Life Church, then I want nothing to do with you. I just don't see that really anywhere else. Beliefs seem to be what put people at odds a little bit more sometimes rather than the church they attend. I don't know if that makes sense. But.
And so you're suggesting that the church, making the church that you attend sort of a primary belief, is the one of the characteristics that a one right church might have. That's kind of what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. Yeah.
Okay, because really, it's some in many other situations, what you actually believe is the thing that kind of drives your church attendance.
Right.
So you determine which church you're going to be part of.
Right.
By what they believe.
Yeah.
And you're suggesting that doesn't work that way.
That is not the case.
Okay.
That I can see at followers at all.
Okay.
So I guess the initial question we asked, if with all those things being true, what's the big deal? Why isn't it okay to attend a church where that's what defines you, the extra biblical revelation, the superior leader, the belief that something you're doing is what makes you different, or what, and then the way you treat people who leave. Why is it a big deal not go to a church like that?
So the other side is, can you do both? Can you have all those things sort of, you know, in one hand, and you know, full fledged belief in Jesus in the other hand, and be fine.
Yeah,
that's your question.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's my question.
So the
you mean you tried that for a while? I know, but
yeah, I did. So I guess maybe point out a couple of potential problems with it. The reason, because I would say that you cannot. I would say that you. biblically cannot follow Jesus, take up your cross and follow him, and still believe that it's extra biblical revelation that sets you apart, or that it's a superior leader that sets you apart, or that it's attending the right church that sets you apart, or that it's not going to a doctor, or any work that you could do, or greeting, or praying the right way that sets you apart. I don't think that you can believe both of those things, that you are following Jesus and that it's those things that set you apart.
Well, and I'm just going to weigh in here, not maybe from the same level of experience as you, but the reason I think that you would say that is that Jesus demands unrivaled allegiance.
Yeah.
And so you mentioned take up your cross and follow me. I mean, he doesn't negotiate for a place in your life. I mean, he is going to be the Lord of your life, the most important person in your life or out of your life.
Right.
I mean, there's not a, let's put Jesus at the fringe and make something else, whether it's church or leader or practices or football, more important.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing.
Yeah, family.
He doesn't negotiate that. And so I think that, you know, if I was to summarize maybe the why, it's that finding your identity, even in a church, is you can't simultaneously find it in, you know, Jesus and in something else.
Right.
And so you really want it to be Jesus. And I think maybe, I don't know if that's what you're getting at, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just reminded as you were talking of when people said to Jesus that they wanted to follow him, when some people said, we'll follow you, his response in a couple of different places is, you need to count the cost first. And what I'm saying is, this is part of counting the cost. Do you want to hang on to the extra biblical revelation? Do you want to hang on to the superior leader? Do you want to hang on to the works that you do and the way that you go to church? Or do you want to...
Or even your family.
Or your family, because of the way people are treated when they leave. Even your family. Or do you want to follow Jesus?
Well, Jesus did have those negotiations with people, didn't he? He said, let me go bury my father first.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus said, no, that's not going to work. Or let me go, what was it? Was he selling a field, the other guy?
Yeah, let me go basically take care of things at home first.
Yeah, and Jesus just said, that's not the play I'm running right now.
Right, right. So I did try. I mean, it would have, I hesitate to say that. I was going to say it would have been great if I could have done that. It would have been great if I could have followed Jesus and kept family and friends and all these things, but it isn't the way it works. Like we said,
and it's a call of discipleship on everybody's life.
Yeah,
not just if you're in one church or another. But the thing is, if the church itself or the people in the church are making the demands that you have Jesus on the periphery of your life and your identity is found somewhere else, then that's when the church, I think, would become a problem.
Right.
Because all of us, I mean, that is what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, is to walk through life for the rest of your life, figuring out how do I keep Jesus in the center and all of the other things on the periphery.
Right.
And that I think is what the call to discipleship is to have Jesus as the kind of the most important thing in my life.
Yeah, he can't be your sidekick. You can't just add him on to what you've already got going. That was something that was said a lot, is that it takes more than just going to this church to make it to heaven. That's what was said at Followers a lot. It takes more than just going to this church to make it to heaven, but it takes at least going to this church to make it to heaven. So it was, that was the primary thing. That was the foundation, was you had to go there and then work your way in the one right church. And there is no Jesus involved in that equation. There were others. I'm trying to remember. It's in Galatians, I think. There were others who said, "Yes, you need to follow Jesus, but you still need to do these other things. You need to follow the law of Moses. Still, you need to be circumcised. Whatever it was." And Paul says, "No, it's not Jesus and anything." He said, "Don't let anybody come teaching you that." And he was pretty upset with them for being, I think in the King James, he used the word bewitched, that, mm-hmm. that they have bewitched you. And I believed that for so many years, even after I believed I was putting my faith in Jesus, I was still putting my faith in Jesus and these other things. I still was living my life in a way that I had Jesus, but I also had to do these other things. And it's just, it's one or the other, and you can't combine them in any way. It's just not the way it works. But I want to maybe talk a little bit about why I think that they were separate. I've said some time on here, in my life, Jesus was just not talked about. He was, you ended your prayer in his name. That was all that I ever really heard him talked about and mentioned. But one of the things that I remember is my whole life, all the stories, like we hear testimony now of people coming to faith in Jesus, all the stories I ever heard were how people came into the Followers of Christ Church. It was that's what testimony was. That's what people would get together and talk about. How did your family come to the church? And so that just became normal to me in my life. And then it became evidence later that that's where we put our trust. We put our trust in joining the one right church or being born in the one right church. And so I just want people to think about that you need to be telling the story of how you've come to faith in Jesus and be giving that testimony. It doesn't matter to me how your family came to the church. That's not the same thing as professing faith in Jesus. It's not a...
That's true. They're very different things.
Very different things.
Yeah. Hmm.
I've got you.
Yeah, you got... I don't know if you got me flummoxed here or not, but yeah. It's... One of the things I think we want to reiterate or say again and again and again is just the simplicity of trusting Jesus.
Yeah.
That, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life."
Yeah.
And that really is the message. And, there is no and,
right,
... on there.
Right.
You know, be a good person, do these things, follow this leader.
Yeah.
Go to this church.
Be born in the right place.
Yeah. Not be baptized, not any of those things. God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that is, you've just got to take God at his word and believe him, and that's what it means. But taking him at his word is believing that his word doesn't have the ... either. Yeah. And I think that's probably, if I was to say, why do we do this podcast on a regular basis? It's to really try and encourage people to just stick with the simplicity of God loved you, gave his son, that you might receive forgiveness because you believe that that's what God intended to do when Christ died on the cross. And when you believe that, he'll give you eternal life. And you buy that, that's it.
Yeah.
And then all of the dot, dot, dots, you don't need those. And there's, you know, there are things that help you believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you, you know, that's why you would go to church. That's why you'd read your Bible. That's why you'd be in a small group. But it really, you're after the simplicity of the central thing.
Right.
And I think that that's, I think that's some of the struggle of what we've got in this conversation is we're trying to somehow get this, I don't know, square peg in a round hole.
Yeah.
Because that's what we know or have known. And really, it's just that simple.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's good. The other one that, the other scripture that comes to mind for me is in Romans 10, when Paul says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's pretty simple. Like I'm not saying that's easy to do, but that's a pretty simple idea. There's not a lot of and then you have to do this, and you have to do this. And so, yeah, I would love to convince people that there's not any one right church that they have to go to or any one right thing that they have to do, not go to doctors, or there's nothing you can do to gain peace with God other than putting your trust in Jesus. That is the only way.
That's why he came and lived a perfect life and died on the cross and rose again, because you couldn't do it and he did do it. And so, yeah, that's I think really the thing that we want to remind people of and just go back and back and back to that. And if you got some other things standing in the way of that being the central thing, then, you know, my plea would be get rid of those other things that you might have that alone.
And that's really what it came down to for me. I held on for a long time just out of weakness and fear of what I would lose. But I just didn't believe that I could follow Jesus and hang on to those other things. And
sometimes, I mean, that it takes a minute sometimes to figure that out. And I mean, I think you can give yourself some grace on that, and other people can too.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it comes back to that simplicity and the things that may get in the way of the simplicity, really.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I definitely overcomplicated it for a long time.
Oh, sure. And that's, I think, one of the grave dangers is you continue to.
Yeah.
Not you. We continue to. And so if it's not one thing, it's another. And we're just constantly course correcting on our way to trying to keep the simple truth of the gospel in front of us.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, it's probably worth saying that these podcasts are not intended to, like, shine a light on all the wrong things that people are doing. That really isn't the heart behind this at all. I do talk about things in my experience that I believed I was doing wrong. But the heart behind this is to free people from that, to get people to find freedom and find peace with God in Jesus and not in the church that they attend or the traditions that they adhere to or any kind of extra biblical. Don't find your wisdom in extra biblical revelation. Find it in God's word. And so it's really that. I just want people to put their trust in Jesus.
Good. So, me too.
Well, we would sing The Solid Rock. I'm sure we've done it on this show before, but it gets right to it in verse 1. It says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." And I just think, I mean, I could read the whole song, but...
But that's the center of it.
That's the center of it. Yeah. And I would love it for people to be able to say with all of their heart that their hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
And I want to have the last word.
Yeah.
No, I don't really. I want people to say, my hope is built on nothing more either.
Yeah.
Than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I mean, I don't think we want it to be built on more either. We want to keep it simple.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Well, thanks.
You bet. Thank you.
Well, hopefully this has been helpful. If you have questions or comments or a topic that you would like us to cover, you can reach us at comments@onerightchurch.com. And for more information, you can visit our website, www.onerightchurch.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.